have these cards down here for those of you who may have difficulty getting up the stairs. If you'd like to add names later during communion, you can leave them here just on the prayer rails, or invite someone else, ask someone else to put them up here if you'd like. So invite you to pray with me. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Say the names. We often read this after another victim perhaps has fallen to gun violence or violence of any kind, whether it be on the streets of Chicago or LA or New York or in a school somewhere, or like two summers ago in Charleston, South Carolina, in a church, or like last Saturday, where 11 souls lost their life inside the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Say the names. Rose Malinger was one of the ones whose funeral, the last funeral, I understand, of the week after the Pittsburgh violence. Her funeral was on Friday. Rose Malinger. At 97, she was 97 years old. She and her family had been a part of the fabric of the Squirrel Hill neighborhood there in Pittsburgh for most of her adult life. And her family, in a statement, said she retained her sharp wit, her humor, her intelligence until the very last day. No matter what obstacles she faced, she never complained. And she did everything she wanted to do in her life. Rose was also called Bubby, which is Yiddish for grandma, and she was that in a way to everyone in their family and that community. And the family added in the statement, family was everything to her. Say the names. Today we will say the names. Some of you have written down those names of those who've gone before us, those who have joined that great cloud of witnesses. Those here at Trinity who we have known and already heard named, like Judy's dad, who she lifted up, Frank Henderson, and those loved ones that we hold dear in our heart today. Today is sort of like the church's version of Memorial Day. We are giving thanks for those who've gone before us, as Hebrews 12 states, the great cloud of witnesses. And in Hebrews 11, the chapter right before that, if you go home, you can read that this afternoon, we have what's called the roll call of faith. It's the heroes of faith, and the names are there, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Samuel and David and on, the names of the faithful. When I was growing up Methodist, we never celebrated All Saints Day. I don't know about you and your experience in church, whether growing up or as an adult. It's part of this liturgical renewal of the Methodist Church. I've shared this with you before, I think. And other mainline denominations began in the late 1980s. And in that renewal, we Protestants, Methodists, Baptists, Lutherans, discovered the power of looking to the official saints of the Catholic Church as role models. There is actually some great treasure in knowing about people like Teresa of Avila, perhaps you've heard that name, and Hildegard of Bingen, and even the legendary St. Patrick and St. Nicholas at Christmas time. You may actually have heard recently that Oscar Romero was made a saint. Maybe you know that name. He was a bishop in El Salvador and was martyred in 1980 for his stance against military oppression in that country. Those are the saints, these people, I like to say with a big S, saints with a big S. So many of you celebrated Halloween last Wednesday. Some of our kids did, I know. It was a beautiful day for it, wasn't it? And we had lots and lots of really cute trick-or-treaters come by our house, I have to say. So you should know, as I think I've mentioned before, we United Methodists don't have a definite stand on Halloween. Some people decide not to celebrate it. Some have a lot of fun with it. But it's important for us to know the connection between this night of trick-or-treating and candy and dressing up and its roots in our Christian tradition. The word Halloween is simply a contraction of All Hallows' Evening, The word hallowed means to be set apart. Our identity as Christians is to be set apart or consecrated. The verb hallow means to make or set apart as something holy. But hallow can also be a noun, meaning a holy person or a saint. So that's where we get the word Halloween, All Hallows Eve. It's also All Saints Day because of November 1st. It's observed by Roman Catholics and by Protestants. And it's also a day of celebrating this communion of saints, this coming together with people from the past, the saints of today, and preparing for what the future is that God has for us. So you may think of All Saints Day as being a Catholic thing. Some of you had told me that. But some of you, I know, we were talking about this in Bible study, remember well a time when the Apostles' Creed was said every Sunday, maybe here at Trinity or another church, and we actually mentioned the communion of saints. You may know it. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen was always at the end, right? Christians love talking about the resurrection, but we're not particularly comfortable talking about the subject of death. It's an enemy, after all, for most of us. As 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, death is the last enemy to be brought to an end. And we often feel that in our bodies and our spirits. And so it's good, I think, that we've set aside this one day to become sort of like the church's memorial day, a time to remember the circle of life, how fleeting the beauty of life is, right? To honor the tears and the memory and to give thanks for and how those who've lived and died continue to teach us about love and hope and truth. And these people are what you've heard me say before, saints with a small s. The late William Stringfellow describes saints as those men and women who relish the event of life as a gift and who recognize that the only way to honor it, to honor that kind of gift, is to give it away. I hope you've been blessed to know people like this. The truth is, most of the names we say out loud today will never be in a book of saints with a capital S, right? Most of them are very ordinary people through whom God's light and love shone into our lives. For some, it was because of their presence here in this congregation, here at Trinity. And over the next 3 weeks, we're focusing on those vows of membership that we all take when we join the church. We all can name people here at Trinity who took these vows, who stood up here and said that they will be loyal to the church with their prayers and their presence and their gifts and their service and their witness. And if the author of Hebrews was writing today, their names might very well be on that roll call of faith. Over and over again, as we've heard these witnesses at Trinity and other stories of how God is working, I've heard you give thanks for people like Irene Anthony. Wish she could be with us today, right? And her warm welcome to this congregation, a living saint. Last week, Scott Reed spoke of Ernie Swirls and his gift of humor, and people were grateful to hear his name. I've heard about George Stutman, the conscience of Trinity, for a long time, the one who started PADS and Habitat and who reminded us of our call to love others practically and with action. When Steve and I, the night we came to meet with the staff parish committee, when we were first being introduced here at Trinity, we were over here in the fireside room, and Steve and I walked in and looked at this wall over here. If you haven't looked at that wall, this is our memorial wall in the back of the sanctuary over there. And I saw a name I recognized, Tallulah Fisher Williams. She was only here 2 years as your pastor. She was the first African-American pastor. But she was a fighter for justice with a big heart and inspired sermons. And I had known her in other contexts in the conference. And there was her name right here at Trinity. I'd forgotten that she was the pastor here. She died suddenly and way, way too young, just a year or so after she left Trinity. And many thought she would have become a bishop. She was that much filled with the light of God. But these names, and the names we'll lift up today, of course, are not the names of perfect people. They are the names of imperfect people, like you and me, whom God has nevertheless chosen to work through. I love this quote by Frederick Buechner that reminds us of that, that the feet of saints are as much of clay as everybody else's, and their sainthood consists less of what they have done, hear this, less of what they have done than what God has chosen to do through them. Our gospel reading this morning, which was read so beautifully by our leaders, Chelsea and Abby, from the Beatitudes, is perhaps the best clue of God, how God works through us and through others when we least expect it. Sometimes we see those Beatitudes, blessed are the mourn, blessed are the poor in spirit, as a to-do list for being a Christian, something to be accomplished, right? Okay, today I must be meek so I can be in God's kingdom. Check. Rather, I like to say that Jesus was trying to tell us that when you are so empty, because you are in mourning, or because you are poor in spirit, or whatever it may be, because of your life circumstances, when you are so empty that the only thing you have left to do is draw near to God, then you are blessed. You are closer to God. You are allowing God's light to shine through you. You are on the path of holiness. You have been given this gift to recognize God working in your own life and in the lives of others, and to share that joy with others. And I love the way writer David Ewart puts it. I've shared this with you before because I think it's so important in understanding the Beatitudes. We are blessed, he says, when whatever our circumstances, we know our need of God. Because knowing our need of God allows us to enjoy the good things in this life without expecting those good things to be our salvation. Because knowing our need of God, he says, allows us to endure the difficult and tragic things of life, knowing they cannot and will not destroy us. In other words, you too can be a saint with a small s. You too can learn to be empty enough to be filled with the light of God. You too can be blessed enough to know that there's so much more to this life than getting and spending or worrying about getting and spending. You too can join this circle around Jesus, the ones to whom he is speaking. Blessed are you who mourn. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Meanwhile, let us say the names of those who have inspired us, the names of those who set the example, the names of those who've run the race, the names of those who've mourned, the names of those through whom God's light and love have shone so brightly, and not just to remember and to be in the past, but to give thanks, to see how it's done, and to do the same, to live in such a way on our Christian journey that we too are filled with the same light, the same love, that same justice and kindness that we see in others, that same compassion and goodness that Jesus came to show us. So say the names of your beloved, of the saints with a small s, of the saints with a big s. Draw strength from the witness of all those who've gone before. Therefore, we read in Scripture, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We are not alone on this journey. May we remember that as we see the light shine in those who've gone before us, in those who are around us even now, and as we let the light of God shine through us. Amen.